In the need of a blessing.
I can call him in the morning.
Come on. Come on in your home.
I can call him in the middle of the night. Just when I call him, he faces everything. I can call him in the morning.
I can call him in the middle of the night. Oh, Jesus. Come on, somebody leave this. Jesus, Jesus. The more I call him, the better I feel.
Yes.
For at his name, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is Lord. Tongues in heaven, tongues on earth, and tongues in hell. For he's above all, and all is beneath him. He holds the world in his hands. And I'm thankful and grateful that he has navigated our niches and allowed us this moment. This privilege of being in this place and to be with you in your place as we are sharing this experience virtually. God is good and he's good all the time. And certainly we are to call on his name. Certainly I thank God for these deacons devoting us by way of our devotional service. And I know you feel better now. You have songs and scripture. And you've been prayed for. Thank God for Reverend Pope, who is doing a wonderful job in Sunday school teaching and presiding over our services, along with Reverend McCoy and Reverend Mims. Thank you today for being here and sharing with us in prayer. And certainly to those of you who are here, we thank God for your presence. And to this melodious singing choir and Brother Eric that worked so hard. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on. Amen. I told them a while ago when they first started coming, they were a tremendous blessing to my spirit and my heart. Good singing and preaching and praying goes together. And they've been hard at it ever since. So I really thank God for them and thank God for all of you. Thank God for the membership of New Bethlehem, being that circumstances won't allow us to come together and congregate. But spiritually, we have a bond that cannot be torn by any pandemic, that we are still one in Christ. Amen. As we're here and you are at your homes or driving along in your cars, we are still one. We pray for you. We bid Godspeed. Bid you Godspeed. And we do ask that you pray for us as we set our hearts to do the will of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the joy of the journey. We thank you for giving us a portion of health and strength, giving us minds that stayed on thee, Holy Spirit within us to lead and guide and to convict us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Now, Father, as we stand to preach your word, we pray that you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Take my mind, think through it. Take my tongue, speak through it. Take my heart and set it on fire. Father, give us unity of spirit, oneness, so as the words flow from my mouth, they will go forth as the rain and the snow descends from heaven, and will go out and will not return unto you void, but will accomplish all that you send it out to accomplish. Father, some heart is grieved. Some mind is distorted. And somebody is tuned in, or perhaps sitting in this sanctuary today. We don't know what they're going through, but Lord, we know your word is spiritual. So sensitize their ears. Soften their hearts. That as your word goes forth, Lord, it will console, comfort, challenge, encourage, build, bless them in all of the ways of your will. And Father, when you would have finished with us, we will give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. I pray that I decrease and you increase, more of you, less of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord if you will. Come on, come on, in your homes and with us here. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18. Certainly we thank God for what he is doing with us and through us. And even what he's doing in this season. This is a tough, trying season of tribulation, season of testing. But God is God. And I hope that you're able to see what he's doing and hear what he's saying. As the song we used to say when I was a boy, do you see what I see? And do you hear what I hear? God is still speaking, and he's still active in the earth. Amen. So to him be all the glory and praise, because he's still good. Even in the midst of a pandemic. Listen, this is the word for you today. Romans 8:28. Tuck that away in your heart. That all things work together for the good of them. For the good of them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. God is working something out for you right in the midst of this. So just know that God is on your side and God is working behind the scene. You may not see him doing much, but listen, know that by faith, he's working things out. Amen. All things. I was talking to one of the members earlier the week, and she alluded to something she heard a preacher say, and I can't recall the preacher that she mentioned, but she did say that it's like baking a cake. That you don't take just one ingredient and eat it and it tastes good. Because I don't think many of us eat a stick of butter. But if you put the butter with the sugar and the flour and the flavor and the eggs and all of the other ingredients that's in the cake and whip it together, put it in the oven and let it set its time, when you take it out, is good. So as we think about the ingredients, of the cake, think about the ingredients of this season that God is whipping it all together. And he's putting it in the oven. And when he brings it out, it's going to be good. So keep the faith, keep hope, keep trust. As Jesse said, keep hope alive. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And we want to continue in our series, Jesus, dot, dot, dot. And this is the vision 2020 that the Lord has given us. And we have been trying to stay true and faithful and committed to the word of God as it pertains to Jesus Christ. Certainly we need Jesus. We need him more now than we've ever needed him. We need Jesus. The choir has so convincingly relayed that message to us that we need Jesus. Over and over again, they call the name Jesus. Amen. We need Jesus. Stand with me, if you will, those of you that are here. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus, my closest friend. That's what I want to talk about. Jesus, my closest, dearest friend. King Solomon, the wisest man ever to live on the face of the earth, with the exception of Jesus the Christ, wrote these profound words. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Solomon's words give us a picture of true friendship. Brothers and sisters, friendship is a two-way street, not a one-way street. In other words, friendship is not one person doing all the maintenance within the relationship. Friendship is a relationship of mutual affection between two or more people. If you receive friendship, you ought to return friendship. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, there are so many people who want to be befriended, but they themselves are not friendly. For even the unbeliever understands the importance of neutrality, of recognizing this principle to be true. In order for friendship to survive and thrive, it must be fed from both ends of the same care. In other words, the word is reciprocity. Reciprocity is the soul of friendship. You can't expect to be cherished as a friend very long if you are not reciprocating the feeling. Here it is, Solomon. He shares with us, he gives us a sneak peek at what the believers have in God, what the believers have in Christ, what the believers have with angels, what the believers have with the saints of God. In other words, believers in Christ are people of special friendships. Y'all didn't hear me. I said believers in Christ are people with special friendships. God is their friend. Christ is their friend. The Holy Spirit is their friend. Angels are their friends. And the saints of God are their friends. Solomon said, if a man has friends, he must show himself friendly. You must show yourself as a friend of God. If God is your friend, as a friend of Jesus Christ, if God is your friend, as a friend of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is your friend, as a friend of the angels, if the angels are your friend, and as a friend of the saints of God, if you are friends of saints. He introduces us to the trueness of friendship. Ah, the validity, the strength of friendship. He reveals to us the true friend, the best friend, our divine friend. Here it is, number one, only 2 points. Number one, in the text, notice the friendship of Christ. Verse 24, a clause, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Before I indulge in the interpretation, let me suggest to you that there are contrary thoughts as it pertains to this particular clause. Interesting is the controversy or disagreement over the interpretation of the first clause of verse 24. Now, the Hebrew language is that there is one word in the text, in the verse, that's questionable whether or not it means this or the other. Now, the scholars of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible have translated this in such a way that is contrary or contradictory to the way King James has translated it. Notice the King James Version says it this way. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But the Revised Standard Version reads this way. He that makes many friends does it to his own destruction. Let me say that again. The King James Version say, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. But the Revised Standard Version says that he that makes many friends does it to his own destruction. Now, when you listen to both translations, both interpretations, there's some truth to both. Number one, a man who's friendly has friends. He has many people who are companions, who accompany, who likes his company, who hangs with him. That's true. A friendly man has many friends. But then it is also true of the Revised Standard Version. He that makes many friends does it to his own destruction. In other words, this particular man who makes many friends may not have all true friends hanging around him. He has some fake and phony friends. Oh, you know how people are, people with money. People like them for the money. People of status. People like them for their renownedness and their status. So a man with many friends does it, or makes many friends, does it at his own destruction. In other words, fake and phony friends don't mean you no good. And because they hang around you, don't mean they are for you. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. So here it is.
the two texts stand in controversy. But I think what Solomon's point is Solomon, he reveals the trueness of friendship. Therefore, he introduces us to someone by the name of Jesus, who's a friend of friends, who's a companion. He sticks closer than a brother. He gives us a sneak peek at our true friend. He shows us what Jesus later revealed to us in John 15 about his friendship. Come with me, if you will, to John 15, verses 13, 14. Jesus shows himself as our friend. He's our friend. His friendship is revealed to us in his love for us. The word friend in the Hebrew language means to love, delight, like, be fond of, and covet. It's a strong desire, long for, yearn for, and craving for. Certainly, Jesus loved us and delighted in saving us. It is not a question of Jesus being our friend. The question is, are you his friend? Because being a friend of Jesus is more than mere talk. It involves conditions. Lord, help me. Let the church say conditions. Say that again, conditions. Jesus loves us, and we must love him in return. If you love him, you love his word. In other words, if you are going to be a friend of Jesus, you must know and obey his commandments. Hold John 15, 14 and 15, and go with me to John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh God. He says, if you love him, the way to show your love is in obedience. And if you obey, he says, I'll love you. And not only will I love you, my daddy, my father will love you. And if he love you, I love you, I'm going to show myself to you. See, the reason so many people can't see him is because they're not loving him. See, you only get close to people you know love you. You don't want to show too much of your heart to folk you know don't love you. Because as soon as you open up your heart to them, smiling faces. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Tell lies. And they'll stab you. Stick a dagger in you. And you will be wounded and wearied. Jesus says, if you love me, you obey. And he says, if you obey, my Father will love you. And if you love me and obey me, I'll love you, and daddy'll love you, and I'll show myself to you. You'll see things that some other people can't see. You'll hear me tell you things that other people can't hear. You'll feel me holding you and keeping you. In your difficult and trying times, I'll show myself to you. See, even in this troublesome time we're living in, obey. And if you obey, what Jesus will do is show himself to you. He done already told us that nothing can separate us from him. No famine, no peril, no tribulation, not even death, no sickness can separate us. So he'll show you himself. I like that. I like that, but not only in John 14, but in John 15, 14 and 15, he says, you are my friend if you do what I command you. I like this. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friend. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. So he won't say servant. Well done. Here, call me friend. Something that's more endearing. I like that. You know the old song, if you're talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. Oh yeah, he's not only my friend, but I'm his friend. He says, I call you friend. Notice the implication is clear. That there is no way to be a friend of Jesus apart from knowing and obeying his word. It is his word that tells us about him. Therefore, you have to be diligent in your seeking and craving and delighting and loving and yearning to learn his word, to do what he says. Don't just read it and ignore it, disregard it, disobey it. But read it with the intentions of putting it in place in your life and living it out in your life. He says, you're my friend if you hear and obey. Unfortunately, for so many, there's a disconnect between the hearing and hearkening. Sit in church Sunday after Sunday, hear preaching, hear the word of God, and go out and do nothing of what it says. And that's why the life is thwarted and distorted, hindered and hampered. Because God blesses obedience. There's a disconnect for so many between hearing and hearkening. And so the bond of friendship is broken and poor and dismantled, so to speak, because when they receive revelation, they don't do. And so Jesus himself said, you are my friend. If he puts a condition, he says, if you obey the word of God. So the word of God gives birth and structure to the bond of friendship. So the friend of Jesus is built upon and centered around his word. I mean, you don't like to hang around folk that don't listen to you. Come on. You know, folks you hang out with, they don't ever hear you. And you know if they hear you, because if they hear you, then they'll do some of it. Talk to me. And so you don't ever see them do, so you know they have not. And that's how Jesus is. He's sitting looking at you. You come in and you know, doing all of the spiritual gymnastics. You got all of the church antic down. You know how to do this and that. You know how to, you know, walk even in and out of church. If you're going to disturb the church, you know how to put up the Baptist finger. And you know how to tiptoe out as quietly as you can. And you go out and still don't do anything. You know how to elevate the voice up and down. You know how to do it. Do that, but nothing of what he said. And when you get in trouble, you're looking for your friend. And you want him to instantly reveal himself to you. What it took other people years upon years to get, you want it, you know, at the snap of a finger. You want immediate revelation. He says, I'm your friend. But he puts a condition on it. If you obey. But you have to hear to obey. So he's a friend. He's a friend. And he craves and desires us. He wants our friendship. And he says, there's only one thing I require of you. And that's for you to obey. Watch him. He says, you don't have to worry about me. Like I have to worry about you. He says, but because I'm faithful, even when you are faithless. That's the word. I'm faithful even if you are not faithful. He says, I'm a friend that sticks closer than your biological brother. The one you have come up with in the house. When times were so hard. The one you had to sleep with. One at the head and one at the foot. The one you most confide in. He's close to you. But I'm closer to you than he is. You know, your padre. Your homie. When you were in trouble, when you had to fight out of some situation, the one that got in it with you. Close to you now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Big brother, little brother, you just called him brother. And he came, he says, but as close as they are to you, I'm closer than that. He says, I'm a friend that stick it closer than a brother. So it denotes the faithfulness of Jesus. And the faithfulness of Jesus is the truthfulness, dependability, and uprightness of Jesus. So notice, he's faithful. And the word faithful is pistos in the Greek, which means that Christ is trustworthy, reliable, rest, confidence, and faith. That if you put your faith, if you put your trust in him, then you will find rest because he's dependable, he's reliable, and he's trustworthy. Oh, you put your confidence in Jesus because you know he's dependable and reliable. That allows you to rest. I got brothers. And the truth is that my biological brothers can't be there for me all the time. I think even in this season of pandemic, it reveals to us that our physical relationships are hindered by orders. That you can be sick in the hospital and the closest person to you can't be with you because of orders. You can be in trouble in jail and the closest person you know in the earth can't be there for you and with you. But no order. No law. No circumstance. No happening. No pandemic can keep Jesus from you. Because he's a friend that stick it closer than a brother. Now that gives me rest. That when my brothers can't be there for me, when my wife can't be there for me, when my children can't be there for me, when my friends can't be there for me, there is one by the name of Jesus who will be there for you. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in a fiery furnace, and all of their friends were on the outside. Daniel was on the outside, and other Hebrews were on the outside. But there was somebody right in the midst of the fire with them that kept them from being burned, even a hair strand on their head from being singed. He is a friend that stick it closer than a brother. Come here, Daniel. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego wasn't there for him. But Jesus put hungry lions to sleep. And as the old preacher would say back in the day, made a lion lay down so Daniel could use him as a pillow. And made another lion lay down beside him and fan him with his tail. Because he's a friend that sits closer than a brother. Do I have a witness? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother because he has knowledge of me that other people don't have. Now y'all know something about me. I know something about you all. But Jesus knows everything. Now you know it's hard to have friends like that. Somebody that knows everything about you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And still say, I'm here for you. I got your back. You know, people will say to you, well, I'm with you as long as you write. I don't need you then. I need you when I, you know, decide to take the wrong path. I need you when things are going wrong. I don't need you just for the right. See, that's so-called friends. You know, they think they're saying something, think they really with you, you know, really making you feel good. I'm with you as long as you're right. Well, you with me sometime because I'm not always right. And I thank God, Jesus is not like you. Because he sees me. Not only do he see me, but he knows my thoughts. He knows my downsettings and my uprising. He knows all there is to know about me. But yet he still says to me by way of the text, I'm a friend that sits closer than a brother. Some people with you for what you got. Thank God that Jesus is not. Because when I didn't have nothing, Kirk Franklin said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Some people with you as long as you're well. But get sick. Can't find them. Call them to call ID works. So they won't answer. But I got a phone. I feel good here. In my bosom. And I can call him up. Regardless of what my condition is. And he'll pick up the line. Because the saints of old said his line is never busy. Do I have a witness? He's a friend that stick it closer than a brother. The word closer, sticking closer in the Hebrew is to knit, which literally means to bind together with ropes or chains. In other words, Jesus is joined inseparably from the very beginning by kindred spirits, by a family spirit. The bond we have with Jesus is tighter than any tie we can have with a biological brother. I have a strong tie. I'm drawn closer. I feel closer. Walking with him and talking with him gives me that blessed assurance that with Jesus, all is well. I can tell him all about it, and he won't look down on me. He won't throw me away. Matter of fact, if I'm truthful and faithful to confess my sins, he's a friend that's truthful and just to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. When I mess up, I don't have to run from my friend, but I can run to my friend. And my friend wanna have just a little talk with me. And just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. Ain't the Lord all right? Let me leave you this morning. I thank God for the great hymnologist, Joseph Scriven. He wrote a hymn in 1857. He penned the words, "What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and what needless pains we bear. All because we will not carry everything to God in prayer. We have we trials and tribulations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should we never be discouraged? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with loads of care? Precious Savior, seal our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let me help you this morning. When you're way down, you need to run to Jesus. When you're sick in your body, you need to run to Jesus. When you're low in your spirit, you need to run to Jesus. When you're broke and ain't got no money, you need to run to Jesus. When your friends have walked away and forsaken you, you need to run to Jesus. If mother and father forsake you, you need to run to Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. If your job plays out, if your children are acting up and acting a clown. You need to run to Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. If you don't have what you think you ought to have, if you don't have a roof over your head and bread on your table and food in your stomach and peace in your mind and clothes on your back, you need to run to Jesus. And when you run to Jesus, you know what he'll do. He'll pick you up, turn you around, and put your feet on solid ground. He's a friend of friends. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Well, why do you say that, preacher? Well, because Jesus is the only one I know, and the only one who could step in my place on a hill called Calvary. Y'all know what he did. He took an old rugged cross, stumbled along the way. He went to a hill called Golgotha with that old rugged cross on his back. They beat him and they spat on him. They plucked his beard, and when they got him to the top of the hill, they stretched him wide. He gave his hands to the nails. He gave his back to the cross. He gave his head to the crown of thorn. He hung for 6 hours on the cross, and he died. He gave his spirit to his Father and his body to the grave. But thanks be to God that from the end of my friend, because Friday night my friend was in the grave, Saturday morning my friend was in the grave, Saturday at noonday my friend was in the grave, Saturday night he was still in the grave, but early Sunday morning, my friend, my big brother, my kinsman redeemer, my way out of Norway, my horse pawing in the valley, my bright and morning star, my lily of the rose of Sharon, my peace, my healing, my deliverer, he got up Sunday morning with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. And can't nobody do me like Jesus. He makes me feel good. He makes me feel good. Do I have a witness? You put tears in your eyes. Nothing wrong with you. He puts joy in my heart, peace in my mind, makes me feel like running, nobody behind me, makes me feel like laughing, it ain't nothing funny. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Let me hear you say, yeah! 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 Ah! He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. It's going to be all right. Look at somebody and tell him it's going to be all right. Hang on. Hold on. It's going to be all right. Keep the faith. In one of these old days, he's going to turn this thing around. It's going to be all right. Come on, look at somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Keep your hands in the master's hand, and it's going to be all right. I can see the sun peeping through the clouds. The storm is almost gone. We have a friend that stick it closer than a brother. He's a true friend. Solomon gives us a sneak peek at Jesus Christ. And Jesus in John 15, he calls us his friend. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. What an honor, what a privilege to be called friend by Jesus Christ. Listen, every blood-bought, every born-again Christian, every saved soul is a friend of Christ. But the truth is, that's not the reality for everyone. The reason we teach and preach with conviction is because we want more people to come to know him as a friend that stick it closer than a brother. Just recently I moved to the Bessemer area. There are many miles between me and my biological brothers and sisters. But as the song says, I walk alone, but I'm never lonely, because Jesus is with me. And he's closer to me than they could ever be. And I rest in that. I have confidence. And I want to give you that same confidence and that same assurance that if you come to know him, he'll be a friend to you. And when you have to take an unfamiliar turn in life, you don't fret, you don't worry, because there's one closer to you than anyone could ever be that you know in the earth. His name is Jesus. Listen, y'all, come on, give us a piece of that, y'all. Give us a piece of that. Help me appeal to her. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here, or if you're listening by way of the virtual service, you can be saved today. You will only accept in your heart, by believing in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he came from the Father to earth to die in your stead for your good. If you can believe that in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, you can be saved today. We pray that you do that. That you make Jesus Christ your Lord. Secondly, if you are listening to us today and you're backslidden and you need to be restored. The Lord wants to do that too. He wants you to give. He wants to give you back your confidence, your rest, your peace, your joy. Please pray and ask Him to forgive you and to revive, restore, reveal, refocus your walk with Him. Thirdly, if you're here watching and you need a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart to be a member, to be a part of this family, we ask that you let us know by way of writing us and sharing with us. Call us. You can go on our website and you'll get the address and you can get the number. If you have made Jesus Christ your Lord today, if you have prayed the prayer of restoration, and if you desire to make New Bethlehem your church home, please write us. Please call us. Please communicate with us. And we'll be so diligent and careful to communicate with you. God bless you. Listen to the praise team as they sing. And afterwards, we will give benediction. Thank you for viewing this service today through our virtual system. We do pray for you and we bid Godspeed upon all of you. May the Lord bless you, may He keep you, may He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Now, Father, we pray that your grace, your loving kindness, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that it will be with us, rest with us, lead and guide us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.